I want to talk about the first reading, but you can see when our Lord has to, he speaks very directly and very strongly, but out of love. He's trying to change these men. And this can happen in any situation, that people take on the appearance of religion, but they never have their heart changed. And our Lord is warning them. And finally he says here, I'm looking for the last line. Now fill up what your ancestors measured out. See, he's telling them, I know what you're plotting against me. I know that you want to kill me, and that you will. Now just think, this is, besides being the Lord God Almighty, who's in love with these people, he's trying to win them over, and they'll have none of it. Now this is frightening. You know, in our day and age, people say, oh, well, maybe there's no hell. Well, there is one. Now, nobody goes there unless they want to. But you can develop such a hardness of heart that you actually prefer to go to hell than to be with God. Everyone will get a chance at that last moment to get one more chance to choose God. But some will not do it. Now that's frightening, to think we could get that hard, that we would rather suffer forever than be with God. But it happens. That's one of the reasons why when I preach, not here, I'm always trying to put speed bumps in the way, because it's likely that there are some people there who are so hard. They have the trappings of religion, but that if they don't change, they'll refuse that last offer. And that's serious. That's why we pray every day for sinners. Of course, ourselves. But believe it or not, on the level of performance at least, some are a lot worse shape than we are. And could be so hard that they would prefer hell rather than to be with God. And that's frightening. On the other hand, we have in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians a wonderful description of the power of the Word of God. He first says, you know, remember, I worked hard among you. I was I'm a tent maker. He's from Cilicia. And Cilicia is still the word for like hair shirt, things like that. You know, it was a rough goat's hair tent that the army used, among other things. So probably he and his family there, you know, they had a contract with the Roman army to make these tents, maybe other people too. And so, you know, working day and night in order not to burden any of you, he's careful because he doesn't want anybody to say he's preaching for money. We had the earlier part of that just yesterday. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. As you know, we treated each one of you as a father treats his children. Yesterday, it was a nursing mother, if you remember. That you walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And now, as he did at the very early part of this letter, you see. And for this reason, we too give thanks to God unceasingly, that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it truly is the Word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. To receive the Word of God in faith is to allow that divine truth, who ultimately is Jesus Christ himself, to change us. It's a power. I think I've already quoted some remarkable things that the fathers and doctors of the church have said about this. There's nothing like Scripture. Nothing. The Word of God dwells here, not as he does incarnate, but he dwells here. St. Thomas was talking about, he's commenting on Ephesians 6. I think I mentioned this before, I'm not sure. Anyway, he's commenting on Ephesians 6, the spiritual battle. So you have the breastplate of faith and the armor and the helmet of salvation and so forth. Then he says, but in a war, in a battle, you don't only have defensive equipment, you have offensive equipment. You have a sword. And so he says, this is the battle with Satan. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's how we deal with Satan, with the Word of God. And so he goes on to say then, as you know, Aquinas, or maybe you don't know, I didn't tell you yet. He said, this is the power, you know, like the Word of God is a two-edged sword, it's power. And he says, this happens frequently, frequente, in sermons. When the Word of God, enlivened by the Holy Spirit, drives out the tangled mass of sins and demons. Sometimes when you're preaching, people get so mad. See, that's the poor old demons getting mad. I know an old preacher, Mike Scanlon, was working with him down in the South, an old, probably Pentecostal. And Mike asked him, well, what do you do when people get really excited, you know, and get really mad? And he says, well, I always have a few football players around, see. And they stand in the front of the stage, and if they come running up at me, they just tackle them. But that is the power of the Word of God. It could do it for us. Drive out sins and demons. But you've got to put your heart into it. There's nothing else like it. Hold on board. Just keep being bored and honor the glory and give glory to the Word of God, and it will break for you. And you will know that God himself is instructing you. And we need that. We need that. And we begin to recognize that power of the Word of God. Well, there are so many texts, I'll give you one more. This is also from Aquinas. Brief part of it, the conclusion, he says, all other writing, God instructs us, if they're true, immediately through this writing. In Scripture, he instructs us immediately. And he gives an example. If you're sick, and the doctor heals you, that's God healing you immediately through the doctor. In these writings of Scripture, God heals you immediately. It's a miracle. Every time the Word of God changes us, moves us, enlightens us, attracts us, it belongs to that domain of the direct action of God in our life, like a direct healing. So it's worth fighting for. Pick it up. I'm preaching all about this yesterday, and then they said to the last minute, would you preach the homily? I said, okay. So I went and prayed, and it just all opened up. It has to. I mean, when you're the preacher, God has to help you out. But that's the way the Word of God is. And so, commit yourself to this Word of God. If things get tough and all the priests go to jail, what are you going to do? Where is going to be the sustenance, the power, the enlightenment? It's not going to come from the Eucharist. It won't be around. Where are you going to be enlightened, strengthened, have the courage to stick up for the truth? Love these people, even if they're giving you a hard time. The Word of God.